Hey everyone, it's Lindsay, and welcome back to the Ontario Society of Occupational Therapists New OTs on the Block podcast, a space where we discuss everything that new occupational therapy graduates need to know to transition into the workforce. So today I'm here with Brandy Park to talk through the logistics of becoming a registered occupational therapist in Ontario, Canada. Brandy Park is the Senior Manager of Registration and Information Systems at the College of Occupational Therapists of Ontario, or what we call CODO. Brandy oversees all components of the college's registration program, so she's very knowledgeable about all things registration and is here to answer some of the questions that you have. As student OTs about to graduate, we are so busy and have a million things on our minds, from research to job searching to maybe even moving. So becoming registered is on all of our minds, but is not necessarily something that we have time to look into or is on the forefront of our minds. So thank you, Brandy, for being here today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
So I surveyed second year OT students from across Ontario to gather some questions. And a lot of the questions that I received were surrounding registration and more specifically how to get a provisional license, because all of us are poor and keen to start working ASAP. So the first question I want to ask you is, what are the steps that we need to take to become registered and get our license?
Sure. So the college actually has a great resource for this online. It's called Register in 9 Easy Steps, and I will include it so you can have it in the show notes. So it really is that easy, 9 steps to register. I'll talk a little bit about the different certificates of registration at the college. So we actually have 2, as most people are aware. We have the general certificate and the provisional certificate. And yes, new grads are most curious about what that provisional certificate means. So I'll start just by talking about the general certificate. So the general certificate of registration is issued to applicants who meet all the registration requirements, including having passed the National Occupational Therapy Certification Examination that's administered by CAOT.
So that one's in November.
That's correct. There's 2 sittings each year. One's in November and then one is in July. The provisional certificate of registration is a bit different. The provisional certificate of registration is issued to applicants who are registered to write the first available sitting of the exam and to also have an offer of employment and an OT who is willing to supervise them there. So both certificates, although the provisional has a condition of supervision, both certificates are 100% accountable for their own practice. So both will use full title occupational therapist and the professional designation OT Reg Aunt. With provisional, although there's a supervisor, it's not the same sort of supervision that you would be receiving when you were out doing your clinical fieldwork hours and placements through the university program. This is a bit more like a mentorship relationship. It's really there as a check and balance, because provisional OTs have not met all the entry practice requirements because they haven't yet passed the exam. Mm-hmm. So there's no signature required or co-signature required on your client's notes. It really is, the provisional OT is really 100% accountable for client care.
Okay, that's really helpful to know. So with our provisional license, we can call ourselves occupational therapists. So what can we call ourselves before that? Do we just stick with the student OT?
Yeah, so you're actually not, the student OT is okay when you're out doing a placement. So that would be appropriate to use student occupational therapist in those circumstances. But once you've graduated or finished all the program requirements and you're sort of out applying for a job, you want to be really careful. You're not actually allowed to use the title occupational therapist, OT, or any sort of variation unless you're registered with the college.
Really?
So what that means is on your resume, obviously everyone wants to go out and find that job with getting a provisional license. So on your resume, you are able to communicate your education and your training, but you're not able to say that you're an occupational therapist, because you're not. It's actually against the law, believe it or not, to call yourself an occupational therapist, or we call it holding yourself out to be an occupational therapist when you're not registered. So you just want to make sure when you are out there applying for jobs and you're not registered with the college, that you're just clear on your resume and you're transparent with potential employers that you're not yet registered with the college.
That's funny. So we're sort of in a limbo where we're not really anything. So one of the questions I was asked was, can you apply for jobs before receiving your license? So because the requirement is you have to have a job offer, so the answer to that is yes.
If you're applying for provisional, it's one of the requirements. You really have to have that offer of employment before you can be issued a provisional certificate of registration. What I always suggest to new grads who are interested in applying for provisional registration, and I want to say too, not everybody will be issued a provisional certificate of registration. It's not mandatory. Some people decide, you know what, I'm done school in August and I want to take a little break, prepare for the exam,
go on vacation
after working so hard in school for probably most of you like 6 years, and take a little break off before you fully enter the workforce. So if you want to just apply for a general registration, that's totally fine too. But if you are applying for provisional registration, you want to be clear on your resume, education and training. A lot of employers are familiar with provisional certificates of registration, so they'll know what that means. But like I was saying, I always recommend to new grads, start your application with the college early. If you are planning on getting a provisional certificate or applying for a provisional certificate of registration, there's no harm in applying early. So what I mean by applying early is you need to complete the online application. That's sort of step one in applying to the college. So that's available online. It's an online form. You go in. You can start that at any time. The application fee is $226. That's including HST. So you need to pay that. Once you complete the application and pay the application fee, your application is valid for 1 year. So what that means is you have 1 year to meet all of the registration requirements. And there's a number of registration requirements. Okay. They're listed in the nine checklist, the nine register in nine steps checklist, but I can go over them at a very high level if you'd like, if that would be helpful for the listeners.
Yeah, I think it would be.
So one is that you have to have OT education that's approved by the college. Obviously, that's a really important one. What we need to prove before you convocate that you've completed the program is we need something called an affidavit from your university. Most of the universities in Ontario are very familiar with this process, and they send the affidavits to the college directly. So we'll get a list of students. From example, the University of Toronto will send a list of students who are eligible, who they've deemed eligible to convocate in the fall. Mm-hmm. So we'll take that as proof until you convocate, because obviously convocation doesn't happen for a lot of people till sometime later in the fall, sometimes even after the exam in November or something.
So
definitely we need that proof first. And then after you convocate, you just have to remember that you have to have an official transcript sent directly from the university to the college to prove that you have officially graduated from the program. But the affidavit is sufficient proof in the interim until that official transcript is ready. You also have to provide proof that you're able to legally work in Canada. So that could be a copy of a passport, birth certificate, permanent resident card, something that shows us that you're eligible to work in Canada. So you would need to submit a copy of that to the college. And I should add, like, something like that can be sent to us via email. So just a scanned copy via email.
Don't have to drop it off.
Scanned email is totally fine. And again, when you're going through our online application, it's really intuitive and all this information is populated in there. So if you say, I'm a Canadian citizen, it'll pop up on the application and say, you must send a copy of your passport. We don't have an upload functionality, but you would email it to us separate from the application. So suitability to practice is another really important requirement of the college. Suitability to practice means that we must deem that you're going to practice occupational therapy safely and ethically. So there's a number of ways you need to demonstrate that. One, there's a series of questions on the application form that you'll be required to answer. And you'll also be required to submit the results of a vulnerable sector check, and that confirms some of the information that you've provided in the application form. And if you're registered in any other jurisdiction or in Ontario in another profession, maybe kinesiologist or something like that, we would actually need to get information from the other regulatory bodies to assess whether you're suitable to practice the profession. And one of the other requirements, another really important one, is professional liability insurance. So you're required to submit proof of professional liability insurance before you can be issued a certificate of registration. Now, if you're applying for provisional registration, there's two extra things you need to submit. And again, this is all referenced in the nine steps to register checklist, super important resource. You need to submit something called the Provisional Supervision Agreement. That is signed by the applicant, the supervising OT, and the employer, just supervising, confirming the supervision agreement. And you also need to submit confirmation that you're registered for the next available sitting of the exam. So when you apply to sit the exam, CAOT will send you a confirmation email, and you can just forward that to the college as proof that you're registered to sit the next available examination. Once we have all of that information, you'll be deemed to have met all of the registration requirements. And then we'll send you a link to pay the applicable registration fee. So the college's registration fee is $657.55 per year plus HST. So with HST, it's $743.03. The fee is prorated. So our annual renewal year goes from June 1st to May 31st. So if you're registering in September, you're not going to be paying the full fee. You'll only be paying three quarters of the fee. Same if you're waiting till after you pass the exam, and maybe you're registering in December or January, you're only paying half the year's fee.
Okay.
So that is a little bit helpful for new students.
Yeah. And I just wanted to go back because I know you mentioned in the requirements that you have to have confirmation of supervision. I know there are a couple people out there who are wanting to start their own business or right after graduation, but in that case, it's not necessarily a job offer per se. So
you're actually not eligible to start your own practice with a provisional certificate of registration. So the answer is pretty straightforward. You can't.
Wow.
So to get a provisional license, you must have an offer of employment and an OT who is willing to supervise you. So this is because you haven't yet passed the examination requirement that shows that you have the entry-level competence to practice occupational therapy. And I think, you know, even as a new occupational therapist who's passed the exam and been issued general registration with the college, you would need to consider whether it's appropriate to start your own practice. Private practice can present unique challenges. There's no employer to define practice and set policies, and oftentimes the OT is isolated and practicing independently. So when we provide advice, practice advice to newly registered OTs, we encourage them to seek out appropriate resources and supports prior to starting their own practice. And you can always contact the college's practice team for more information about that area. And I've included that for you to add to the show notes.
Awesome. That's really helpful. That's interesting. That's really good to know. So thank you for that. The other thing is, how long does this whole process take? So I know a couple people have asked about working in other provinces, like how long should you wait, and do you get charged?
So all great questions. So I went over at a high level the requirements, and as you can see from just going over that, there's a lot of third parties involved. There's registering with CAOT to take the exam. There's purchasing professional liability insurance. There's getting a vulnerable sector check. There's making sure you got the affidavit from your school. So there's a lot of third parties involved. There's a lot of moving parts. So I always say, it is a bit dependent on the applicant, on how smoothly the process goes. I always encourage people to apply in advance. You can start the application. Once you start the application, we don't consider the application received until you've paid the actual application fee. So there's no harm in starting the application early. You don't have to pay the fee right away. It's just when you're ready to officially apply, you can go back, log in, and then pay the fee. And then we'll consider your application received.
Okay.
Once your application is received, it's valid for 1 year, which means you have 1 year to submit proof that you meet all of the requirements that we've just discussed. So if you're contemplating working maybe in Ontario, maybe in Nova Scotia, BC, you're not sure yet, you know, there's no harm in starting an application with our college. Just don't pay the application fee.
You don't get charged until you're committed.
Yeah, okay. Don't pay the application fee because fees are non-refundable. So I don't want you to have to pay $226 and then end up that you're going to Nova Scotia and you're not practicing here anyways.
Okay, that's really helpful.
So you can wait. Yeah.
And when can we tell our employers we can start working? So do we get some kind of confirmation? Like, how long does the processing of the application usually
take? Yeah, so I think there's a couple things to think about here. I think when you're going for an interview for a job with an employer, you want to be transparent with them that you're not yet registered with the college. This is why it is good, though, to sort of apply to the college in advance. So at least you've started the application. You've submitted evidence, you know that you meet the majority of the registration requirements, okay. So you have insurance, you've got the VS check, all of those pieces that can take extra time. That way, when you're going in to an interview with a potential employer, you can kind of confidently say, I've applied to the college, I've met all of these requirements, you know, in order to be issued the provisional certificate.
I need an offer. AKA hire me, please.
Yes, think about some clever way to get them to hire you. And like I said earlier, I think a lot of employers are quite familiar with provisional certificates of registration. And we have a fantastic page on our website that is completely dedicated to provisional registration. It's been provided in the show notes. I even encourage, there's an employer section on there too. So if your employer isn't sure, you can direct them to that page of the website as well. There's a ton of good information. I would always say, make sure you go into the interview informed with the information. So when they ask you, well, what does this mean? What is provisional registration? You're able to confidently tell them what it means, what it entails, that you require supervision. This is the reason why you require supervision and that sort of information.
Yeah, just making the process, I guess, as easy as possible for them. The last question that I have related to licensing is, say we get granted a provisional license and we're registered for the exam, but we unfortunately fail the exam. I know this is not likely. We're all going to kill the exam. We're all going to do so well. But if that happened, hypothetically, can you extend that provisional license?
So you actually have the opportunity to extend. So if you fail the exam, and you're still employed, you would need to submit a new provisional registration supervision agreement. It needs to be submitted to the college directly. So that means your employer and your supervisor must agree to continue on with the employment and supervision relationship. If that's approved by the college, and in most cases it would be, your provisional registration would be extended up to 60 days after the next sitting of the exam. So for example, if you failed the
November, you could do July.
Yeah, you could take the July exam and it would be extended for 60 days after the July exam. That just gives us time to receive your exam results and things. If your employer decides to terminate the employment relationship or the term of the employment contract ends, and this is regardless if you fail or not, actually, this is at any time, your provisional registration automatically expires. So you're required to notify the college and the provisional registration would automatically expire. If you're unsuccessful at your second exam attempt, the provisional registration will also automatically expire. So you sort of get one opportunity for extension. And expired registration means that you're no longer permitted to practice as a provisional occupational therapist. You would need to wait till you successfully pass the exam and then be issued general certificate of registration.
Okay, so there's sort of that one-time extension.
Yes.
Okay, great. And just switching gears a little bit, one of the requirements, again, that you talked about is professional liability insurance. What is that? Can you tell us a little bit about what it is? Why do we need it? And where can we get it?
Sure, absolutely. So having professional liability insurance that meets the requirements set out in the college bylaw is a mandatory requirement of registration. So you cannot be issued registration unless you provide proof of professional liability insurance. It is really important. It actually helps protect the clients and the occupational therapists who serve them. It ensures there's compensation available for any client who sustains a loss or injury as a result of the occupational therapy service delivery. So the college needs to make sure that OTs have professional liability insurance. It's a super important aspect of the college's public protection mandate. The college doesn't endorse any insurance provider. It's the responsibility of each applicant to determine which insurance provider and policy best meets their needs. You can find information about insurance policies that meets the college requirements on our website, and that's going to be linked in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And it's really important too. So you need to provide proof of professional liability insurance during the application process, but once you're registered, you need to renew your insurance annually and update the college with that information within 30 days of the renewal. So it's an ongoing requirement.
Okay, and again, cost probably varies by provider.
That's right. You would need to take a look and see which insurance provider best meets your needs.
So professional liability insurance is one of those continuing obligations that we have to CODO. Is there anything else that we need to do?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I like to say registration is not a one-time activity, and as a regulated healthcare professional, you have ongoing obligations that you have to meet. So, for example, you're going to be required to renew your registration annually. You're going to need to demonstrate continuing competence through the college's quality assurance program. You need to keep your information up to date with the college within 30 days of a change occurring. And when I talk about information, I'm talking about your personal home information. Email address is super important. We primarily communicate with our members by email, so we want to make sure you're getting our emails. Employment information, you're required to report to us. We've already talked about insurance information needs to be updated within 30 days. You also need to keep current in practice. So when you renew annually, you need to declare if you've practiced 600 hours in the past 3 years. And there's also the ongoing requirement to remain professionally suitable to practice the profession. So there's reporting obligations you have as a professional if you're charged with an offense, or if you are registered with another regulatory organization, you've had some disciplinary action, you are obligated to report that information to the college within 30 days of it occurring.
So what is that quality assurance program that you mentioned?
Yeah, so the quality assurance program is a really important program at the college. There's a lot of information on the website about it, so I would encourage you to go there. But there's basically three components to it. So there's a prescribed regulatory education module, or we call it the PREP module, and that's released annually, and every occupational therapist is required to do it. I think even some of the students in the university programs have used or use the PREP modules
we're pretty familiar with those.
So you're probably familiar with the PREP, so you'll, a member, you'll be required to complete the PREP on the on an annual basis.
Okay.
There's also a component of self-assessment. So you'll be required to do a self-assessment every 2 years. And then from that, you're required to develop a professional development plan at the beginning of the annual renewal year. So in June of each year, you would create your annual professional development plan that you'd be working on through the renewal year, and then finish it off and put in your evidence of accomplishments throughout the year, and then submit it to the college at the end of the year for May 31st.
So that could be maybe attending a workshop or webinars. Are those?
There could be a variety. It's really self-directed learning, so it depends on what your learning goals
are,
what
your practice is,
and how you're going to achieve that. The college has developed a really great resource outlining your professional obligations, and you can find it on our website. It really goes through at a high level what those ongoing obligations are. And when you are, when you finally receive a certificate of registration with the college, you'll receive an email from us that says, "Welcome to the college. Here's your registration number." That's a really important email. You do not want to go to work before you receive that email from the college, because that's against the law. So we don't want that happening. So you are not able to attend a workplace. And by workplace, we're talking about even orientation or training as well at the workplace. So you want to make sure you receive that email that says you're registered with the college. Here is your registration number. You can now use the title occupational therapist. So when you get that email, you'll also get a welcome to the college guide that outlines all of the information you need to know starting your registration with the college. So make sure you read that. It's sent as a PDF, and then when we send your official registration certificate, we send a hard copy by mail as well.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brandy, for sharing all this information and answering all of our questions. It's been really, really helpful. So that's all that we have for you all today. It can be really overwhelming as a new graduate, so hopefully all of this information and the resources linked below will help you and kind of break it down for you. I've also linked OSOT's contact information, new grad resource, and all of the CODO resources that Brandy referred to in this episode today. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, rate and review. Any feedback is really appreciated, and we will see you on the next episode.